As of today, July 18th, we sit just 38 days away from college football actually being played. Yes, that's right. On Saturday, August 25th, there will be a quartet of games as the likes of UMass will play host to Duquesne, Rice will take on Prairie View A&M, Colorado State and Hawaii will kick things off in Fort Collins, and the mighty New Mexico State Aggies will take on the Josh Allen-less Wyoming Cowboys. 5 days after that, there will be another dozen games, including a couple of intriguing ones, such as Purdue hosting Northwestern in a Big Ten battle. UConn will play host to last season's self-proclaimed national champs, the University of Central Florida. But then just 2 days after that, it'll be Saturday, September 1st, the first full Saturday of the 2018 college football season. Welcome to the first edition of the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Quick background for me, I do a variety of things for 103.3 FM ESPN Radio in Dallas, including hosting shows from time to time, producing duties, reporting duties, anchor duties, among other things. I grew up in Abilene, Texas before heading over to Fort Worth to get my degree in sports broadcasting at Texas Christian University. I've been a massive college football fan my entire life. My dad was a walk-on at Texas, so I was pretty much just born into it. And I've been watching the Big 12 and all of college football for as long as I can remember. I sat on the edge of my seat as a 12-year-old as Vince Young orchestrated perhaps the most legendary last-minute drive in college football history against USC to win the 2005 Rose Bowl and take the national championship. Believe it or not, Kansas did win the Orange Bowl over Virginia Tech in the 2007 season. Trust me, I watched the journey. Todd Reesing can play quarterback for my team anytime. I saw Michael Crabtree give Texas Tech their biggest win in program history on a last-second catch from Graham Harrell over Texas in 2008. And how could I forget the magical RG3 season in 2011, including a wild finish over Oklahoma in Waco that year? My first year at TCU was the Horned Frogs' first season in the Big 12 in 2012. Casey Paul Hall was arrested and the legend of Trevon Boykin was born and really came into fruition in 2014. That brings me to the wildest and perhaps most gut-wrenching game ever as Baylor rallied back from a 58-37 deficit to take down TCU 61-58 in a high-scoring classic over the last 11 minutes in that game. It's the only game the Frogs lost that year, and it cost them a chance to make the inaugural college football playoff and perhaps a chance to play for a national championship. Just this past season, Iowa State emerged on the scene with a top-5 win over Oklahoma and another top-5 win over TCU. Baker Mayfield won the Heisman and led the Sooners to the college football playoff where they fell just short in the Rose Bowl to Georgia. And Mason Rudolph and Mike Gundy once again fell just short in Bedlam and did not reach expectations. College football is exciting. It's emotionally draining. It can provide the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. It has the most passionate fan bases. On Saturdays in the fall, I'm dialed in from the 11 o'clock kickoffs all the way through some epic Pac-12 after dark that usually seems to offer the always entertaining Mike Leach and his Washington State Cougars. On the Four Verticals podcast, I will focus on all things college football. It'll have a Big 12 focus, but I will branch out to everything going on around the country. I'll have conference previews when it comes to the Power 5 and maybe some of the group of 5 teams I think can emerge. As far as the Big 12 goes, I will have a team preview for all 10 members. Yes, including the Kansas Jayhawks. Can they win more than one game this year? During the season, I will look at some of the biggest matchups. There will be Heisman talk, and hopefully guests from time to time will join the Four Verticals podcast. Some of that is still in the works. But I can promise you that it'll be fun, it'll be entertaining, it'll be informative. I'll give strong opinions, and I won't hold back. With all that being said, I spent the last couple of days at Big 12 Media Days. It was a familiar room in terms of coaches as all 10 universities brought back their head coaches from last year. However, one of those coaches really caught my eye with some of the things he said, and for all the wrong reasons. We'll dive into that and also take a look at another coach in another Power 5 conference and some of the comments he made at their Media Days that you will just not believe. In addition to that, we'll wrap the podcast up with some Fortnite talk. Yes, the game Fortnite. I asked some of the players at Big 12 Media Days who the best player on their respective team is, what their favorite guns are, and a whole lot more. And that even inspired me to come up with my all Big 12 Fortnite squad. We'll do all of that straight ahead on the first episode of the Four Verticals podcast. keeping things rolling along here on the first episode of the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Stick around as here in just about 10 minutes or so, I'm going to get into my all Big 12 Fortnite squad as I talk to some of the players at Big 12 Media Days about their favorite weapons, who the best player on their teams are, all that good stuff. And you'll also hear from some of their players on some of the comments, pretty funny stuff. So we're doing that as we'll wrap things up on the Four Verticals podcast here in just a little bit. But first, as I mentioned, I was at Big 12 Media Days, and you know, this year, usually something stands out when you go to one of these events. It's the first time you hear from a lot of these guys in a public setting since the season before, especially from the smaller schools. But this year, there wasn't really anything that really stood out. I mean, obviously in the Big 12, it's a lot of new players. You know, quarterbacks are gone. Will Greer's kind of the veteran of the group. He was kind of the guy everybody was eager to talk to. But Baker Mayfield's gone. Mason Rudolph's gone. Even guys like Kenny Hill and Nick Schimonek are gone. A lot of new young quarterbacks. And as we get closer to the season, when I break down some of these teams, I will get into some of the new young talent and break some of that down. But I want to focus on what Tom Herman had to say. So Tom Herman takes the podium for his scheduled press conference, which Texas was day two. They were the second team up, so he would have stepped on the podium at about 10:30 on Tuesday. And usually these coaches, they give a quick, you know, speech, you know, 30 seconds, maybe up to a minute or two. Hey, we're happy to be here. We're happy to represent the University of Texas. Quick little thing on last year, what we're looking to improve this year. Excited to represent the university. Let's open it up to questions. Tom Herman decides he's going to go on a 6.5 minute dialogue, which is extraordinarily long. I mean, Bill Snyder and Texas Tech head coach Cliff Kingsbury, they didn't even give opening remarks. They just said, hey, let's get the questions going. And I kind of respect that. We're not here to hear a soliloquy from you guys. You know, answer our questions for 20 minutes and then move on. Well, Herman took 6.5 of those minutes and just kept rambling on and on and on and had quite a bit to say. And it started with a couple of small things, but then he got into selling his program, which I get that's what you want to do. University of Texas, you've been down for a while. You got to sell the program on something. Well, he sold it partially due to what Texas was able to accomplish last season.
We've had our first winning season in 4 years. We had our first bowl victory since 2012. We retained all of our staff, including, in my opinion, the best defensive coordinator in college football in Todd Orlando, as well as, in my opinion, the best strength coach in college football in Yancey McKnight, as well as the addition of one of the best offensive line coaches in the country in Herb Hand.
First of all, I'm not sure whoever let in that knucklehead who cheered for his remarks on Todd Orlando. I do agree with him there. Todd Orlando's a damn good defensive coordinator. I don't know if he's the best, but he's probably somewhere in the top 10 in the country. Here's the deal. Texas went 7-6 last year. 7-6. Technically, yes, that was a winning season. Texas is first in 4 years, since before Charlie Strong got there, because he went 6-7, 5-7, and 5-7. So yes, it was a slight jump from the Charlie Strong era. But don't sell me on last season's successes when you go 7-6 at the University of Texas. I get it. It's your first year as the head coach there. You're not going to win 10, 11, 12 games and go to the college football playoff or even win the Big 12 in year one. That's probably not going to happen. I get it. And I get it's been a downtime and a dark era for the University of Texas, but it is Texas, okay? 7-6 is not acceptable. If Tom Herman goes 7-6 in year three, he won't have a job. I'll put it that way. And so then he further sells the program on silly things like weight room accomplishments.
We have 60 members of our football team right now that can vertical jump over 30 inches. We have 42 players on our football team that can power clean over 300 pounds from the floor. We have 34 guys that can squat over 500 pounds. And we have 3 guys that actually can squat over 600 pounds.
Tom, you're killing me. You're Texas. We know you've got premier athletes. And guess what? Frankly, I don't care that you have guys who can jump high. I don't care that you have guys who can bench press a lot and who can squat and who can clean. That's great. Does it help on the football field? Yeah, probably. You need strength and you need to be able to run fast and jump in certain situations. Guess what? That's football. You need good athletes. We want to hear you talking about winning. If I'm a Texas fan, I'm not very happy with those comments from Tom Herman. Don't tell me 7-6 is some huge accomplishment because you had your first winning season in 4 years. That's not a big accomplishment. And yeah, you were close. You lost a close game against Oklahoma State. The Red River rivalry came down to the wire. You lost that tough one in Southern Cal. I don't care that you were close. I don't care that you had a slightly above average season last year. At Texas, you had a below average season. 7-6 is not acceptable. And the whole weight room crap, you're not Kansas. You're not David Beatty up there just searching for answers and searching for anything you can hold your hands on how to sell the Kansas program. You're Tom Herman and you're Texas. You've won a national championship as an offensive coordinator at Ohio State. You've brought Houston to a high level in terms of winning. 7-6 at Texas is not going to get it done. And don't try and convince me so. If I'm a Texas fan, I'm furious. I don't stand for this. And yeah, later on in his opening remarks, he talked about the emphasis in the offseason has been finish, finish, finish. We got to finish. I get that. If he would have just said those things, that would have been great. This is what Tom Herman should have said. Hey, we're excited to be here. Last season, we had some ups and downs. We did have some things to build on. Played a lot of tough teams close, but close is not acceptable at Texas. We need to find ways to win those games, and we intend to do so starting this year. That's what he should have said. That's all he needed to say. Really disappointed in Tom Herman's remarks, and perhaps even the most shocking moment of Tom Herman's press conference came right here.
Oklahoma had four All-Americans last year and came within an overtime of getting to the championship game. You had one All-American, a punter, who's gone. How many elite players do you feel like you have on this roster that can be difference makers and win championships?
Some. I don't know. You kind of put me on the spot there. I haven't tallied up difference makers and championship level guys, and I don't know that it's fair for me to give an assessment with the limited time that I have to think about that question.
The device you're listening on did not glitch, I promise. Tom Herman actually paused for 10 or 11 seconds when Kurt Bowles of the Austin American-Statesman asked him that question. He was so thrown off guard by that, as he said afterwards, and ultimately said some in regard to if he feels like he has elite slash championship level players. The championship remark, that I get that, that makes it a little tougher for him to say he's got a bunch of championship pieces. You don't want to overstep, but you just had a top five recruiting class. It's not like Charlie Strong left the cupboard bare. I know you lost guys to the NFL, Deshaun Elliott, Malik Jefferson, obviously he mentioned punter Michael Dixon, Connor Williams, who's now playing with the Dallas Cowboys, among a few others, and guys who graduated. But you got to be ready for a question like that. List a few guys. Say, hey, wide receiver Colin Johnson, he's a big-time player. He's one of the best receivers in the country. I personally believe that. He made some unbelievable plays against USC. I want to see some more consistency from him and the others. But Texas has players. Mention the quarterbacks, even if you don't fully believe it. Say, hey, we think Sam Ellinger's a hell of a leader, and we think he can turn into a big-time quarterback who can lead us where we want to go. But to say some after a 10-second gap of silence, I don't know. That's not exactly a ringing endorsement if I'm a Texas fan. So those are some of my thoughts on Tom Herman, and really, those are really the major highlights of media days. None of the other coaches, there's really nothing big this year. You know, last year the big story was how the hell is Matt Rhule going to handle the onslaught of Baylor questions about the scandal. This year it was more about football. I think he was more comfortable, although he did handle it pretty well last year. Poor David Beatty tried to sell Kansas on the players he brought there, and I just really feel for him because they just have no chance. 1-11, three wins in three seasons, 1-11 last year. I think David Beatty is going to be on the way out after this season, bar something significant. I did want to touch up on this. ACC media days are going on simultaneously. Larry Fedora, the head coach of North Carolina, who's done some good things, had a down year last year, won 10-11 games a couple years ago, played in the ACC title game, almost beat Clemson, who ended up playing for the national championship that year. Just take a listen to this. This is just unbelievable audio.
I fear that the game will get pushed so far to one extreme that you won't recognize the game 10 years from now. That's what I worry about. And I do believe that if it gets to that point, that our country goes down too.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Did I hear that correct? Did he just say, as the game continues to evolve, maybe perhaps in a softer sense where they try to make the game safer, that it's going to affect the entire country? Listen one more time.
I fear that the game will get pushed so far to one extreme that you won't recognize the game 10 years from now. That's what I worry about. And I do believe that if it gets to that point, that our country goes down too.
He doubles down here. Take a listen.
There will be decline of our country, there's no doubt. Yeah, I there's no doubt in my mind. I think because the lessons that you learn in the game of football relay to everything that's going to happen in the rest of your life. And if we stop learning those lessons, we're going to struggle. And, you know, I think in some ways we're struggling more now than we ever have. Are we ever going to be a perfect country? No, not by any means. And but I do think the game of football has had a major impact on who we are as a country.
I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm going to guess. The amount of people in this country that have played college football or at a higher level, aka the pros, is under 1%. It's got to be 0.2% of people who have played college football or at a higher level. And Larry Fedora, the coach of North Carolina, is trying to convince the world that as the game becomes safer and less recognizable to what it used to be, that it is going to have a severe impact and be the downfall of the United States of America. That is unbelievable. That is an unbelievable comment that he simply cannot get away with. Now, I'm not suggesting Fedora should be fired or anything like that, but if I am the athletic director at North Carolina, what the hell am I thinking? My goodness, as college football continues to change, it's going to be the downfall of the United States? Fedora went on to have comments about the correlation between football and CTE.
I'm not sure that anything is proven that football itself causes. Now, we do know from what my understanding is that the repeated blows to the head cause it. So I'm assuming that every sport that you have, football included, could be a problem with that, right? As long as you've got any kind of contact, you could have that. That does not diminish the fact that the game is still safer than it's ever been.
Yes, it's safer than it's been in previous years. But are you serious? You're going to compare it to other sports? Taking an elbow every fifth game to the head in basketball is not comparable to football, where offensive linemen on every play are driving their head into defensive linemen heads. It's just not the same. And to just say that it is not proven that there is a correlation between playing football and CTE is simply just not true. Just do a basic amount of research. Go on Google, search correlation of CTE and football, and there is so much research out there that you'd be shocked at what you find. Or actually, for the rest of us, you would not be shocked at what you find, because it's been all over the place over the last several years. Do you not remember that study, Larry, when they sent in 101 brains of former NFL football players and only one came back without showing CTE? Yeah, there's a correlation. And now that was a specific example where those 101 players died younger, and so maybe they had it worse than others, and some players probably don't ever get it. But you know what? I bet more than half do. I bet if you play college football and at least 3 years in the NFL, you have some level of CTE. Aaron Hernandez, who I'm not saying I have any sympathy for him because I don't, They did a study on his brain after he committed suicide after his second trial. He had the brain of like a 65-year-old. Guy only played like 4 years in the NFL before he got arrested. You know who's taking blows to the head? Larry Fedora, North Carolina football coach. My goodness. Best of luck to the Tar Heels in the upcoming season as they look to bounce back. All right, that's my football, my primarily football-focused segment here on the first episode of the Four Verticals podcast. In the future, we'll get an ACC preview sometime in the upcoming weeks, including Fedora's North Carolina Tar Heels. Coming up next, I want to put a wrap on episode one of the Four Verticals podcast. I spent some time talking to Big 12 players at Media Days about the ever-popular game Fortnite. You'll hear some of those conversations as well as my all Big 12 Fortnite squad. All of that coming up next as we wrap things up here on the Four Verticals podcast. Wrapping things up here on the first episode of the Four Verticals podcast, I'm your host, Harrison Graham. I mentioned earlier I was at Big 12 Media Days on Monday and Tuesday, and basically the way it works is so the coaches do their little 15-20-minute press conferences in front of the entire media. That's usually from about 10 a.m. to noon. You know, one coach goes for 20 minutes, five-minute break, next coach, blah, blah, blah. Then there's a lunch break. And then after lunch at 2:30, each team brings four or five players to Media Days, and you can go and walk around the room from 2:30 to 4 and ask these guys questions. You know, obviously it's primarily football questions, but you can ask them lighter stuff too. And I decided on both days for the last 20 or 30 minutes or so, I would ask a select few of players, a couple players on each team, about the ever so popular game Fortnite. I would ask him, you know, who's the best player on the team? What's your favorite weapon? What type of player are you? What system do you play on? Those sort of things. So I've got a group of players here, eight players here. I've got TCU quarterback Sean Robinson, Iowa State quarterback Kyle Kemp, Texas Tech linebacker Dakota Allen, Oklahoma State wide receiver Jalen McCleskey, Oklahoma State running back Justice Hill, West Virginia wide receiver David Sills, Baylor wide receiver Chris Platt, and Kansas State quarterback Skylar Thompson. So some fairly high-profile players in the conference all answered some questions for me, and I had some back and forth with them on the game Fortnite. So let's start right here with TCU quarterback Sean Robinson.
Real quick, so I'm kind of going around asking guys, and Shewo sent me to you. He says you're the best Fortnite player on the team. Is that true? Who else is good?
Nah, I'm
probably... You guys squad up at all?
I'm up there, but I'm not the best. Who's Trey Elliott.
Trey Elliott?
Trey Elliott. He's the best.
What, is he just a supreme builder? What makes him good? Because I'm all
he can
in.
Build his butt off, yes. But he's just accurate. He's the best sniper I've seen.
Really?
Yes. He does not miss sniper shots. He is good.
What's your go-to? Are you more of an AR guy?
Oh, yeah. I like the AR. I'm all
How about
around.
The new drum gun?
Oh, yeah. That melts. Tommy gun? Oh, my gosh. But the suppressed SMG.
They've nerfed shotgun. Yeah, dude.
I used to love the
silent,
pump.
Blue silence. I know the pump is
Headshots.
Not.
Headshots. I was crazy with that, but.
The blue silence SMG melts,
oh,
too.
Exactly. I go with the AR.
Right now, I'm having fun, like. I'm not great with it, but the hunting rifle is like
oh,
a
yeah.
fun gun.
I used to hate it, but I'm getting better at it.
Here's a few thoughts from Iowa State quarterback Kyle Kemp.
Yeah, because a lot of us have Xbox, a lot of us have PS4, so it just depends on like who you ask. Like I think David's PS4, so I think he'll say someone else. But I'd probably say Ray for Xbox users.
Okay.
Ray Lima.
What's your favorite weapon?
Right now, the tactical submachine gun, because it's OP.
Kansas State quarterback Skylar Thompson was a little more reluctant to praise one of his teammates' abilities. Here's his thoughts.
You know, if this ever gets back to him, he will never shut up about it. But I will probably say Walter Neal, he's a kid in my class who plays nickel, is going to be a good player for us. Has a lot of potential to be very good. But he came in the locker room the other day saying he got a squad dub and had 15 kills, and that's all he talked about.
But that's get a little big-headed.
Oh, yeah. But I'm telling you, I just wish, like, sometimes you could stick a microphone up in our locker room and just listen to conversations, because half the time it's argument of who's better between Michael Jordan and LeBron James, or who's the best Fortnite player? Like, those are the two conversations that are taking place all the time.
Fortnite and the LeBron versus Jordan debate, pretty much the two hottest topics going on right now. So definitely not exclusive to Kansas State's locker room. Let's slide over to Stillwater. Oklahoma State wide receiver Jalen McCleskey. Here are his thoughts on Fortnite.
Who's the best Fortnite player on Oklahoma State?
I'll say it's either me or Zacharias Green.
Are you an Xbox guy or a PS4?
Nah, I'm PS4, PS4? Though, but he's on Xbox.
Why you? Why do you think?
I just
confident, or are you just blasting heads?
I'd be catching bodies. I don't know what to tell you.
What's your high kill game?
My high skill game, I think, is like 11.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite weapon or loadout?
Favorite weapon, I'd have to say that new Tommy gun, the drum gun. If I find one of those, that's the only thing. That's all I need.
Did you see today they vaulted the tax sub? It's gone.
Oh, they did.
No tax sub. They added a new sub though.
Yeah, I saw they were adding one. I didn't know.
Yeah,
they
took the
tax
sub
out.
Well, thanks, man.
No problem.
Jalen McCleskey certainly not lacking any confidence there. What about his teammate Justice Hill, first team Big 12 running back? What does Justice think about his abilities on Fortnite?
I don't know if you play, but I'm guessing you do, since everybody else does.
Any time I play from Fortnite, either.
Who's the best player on the team? Jalen says it's between him, and I can't remember who else he said. He said he plays PS4, and someone on Xbox is good.
I think the best player is probably Rhett. He's a receiver. Rhett Bortles, he's the best player. I'm probably second. And so,
are you Xbox?
Yeah, I'm actually both now. I just got PS4 last week.
So you're playing on both?
Yeah, PS4 is way too easy. I go in there and
just scrubs on there.
Scrubs,
catching dubs.
Scrubs, for real.
What's your favorite loadout or just one weapon?
I just got a heavy. Heavy, my favorite gun. I got to get a heavy. And then.
So are you a big builder then?
Yeah, for sure. I pretty much push everybody. And so, I use ARs, but I don't really like them that much. And I don't really like scars. I just like. Getting up close.
Reminds me of Daquan.
He just double pull on everything, but you can't do it no more. Yeah.
Dude, he kills me, man. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, brother.
Yeah, hey, brother.
Giving a little love to my favorite Fortnite streamer, Daquan. Go check out his stuff, TSM_Daquan. On YouTube. Shifting gears to the defensive side of the ball, I asked Texas Tech linebacker Dakota Allen who the best player for Tech is and how he likes to play the game.
I'm just going to have to say me. I have a lot of confidence in my play.
So, you a builder?
I am a builder.
Okay.
I'm one of those guys. I will tear up a whole house, and then when I see somebody, I'll put a whole wall up. Yeah.
You like short-range stuff, long-range?
More of a sniper
shotgun
on there.
Okay.
My favorite gun's the legendary double pistols, though.
You're in on those?
It doesn't get much better than those.
Dual pistols, actually one of the guns I do not choose to run, so that's certainly a different outlook from Dakota Allen there. A couple more offensive players. Let's shift gears to Waco. Baylor wide receiver Chris Platt, he had a lot to say about the game.
Who's the best Fortnite player on Baylor's football team?
I would say me. Yeah.
Why?
I play PlayStation 4, though.
You're PS4?
Yeah, I'm okay. PS4. But I would say me, but I haven't really, honestly, on the Xbox, I would say Thor Redoni.
Why him?
I mean, everybody else has played with him on Xbox, and they say he's like one of the best ones they play.
Is it more Xbox throughout the team?
Yeah, a lot of more people are Xbox.
What's your favorite weapon?
Favorite weapon?
They just vaulted the tax sub. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, I did. I would probably say my favorite loadout is Gold Scar, of course.
Uh-huh.
Blue tech. And either the blue
drum.
I do like the drum. I might go blue sub tech and the double pistols.
Okay.
Or the blue sub tech and the sub tactical machine gun or the drum gun.
RIP to the tac sub, certainly one of my favorite weapons before it got vaulted. Last but not least, let's shift gears to another star receiver in the conference, David Sills. His thoughts on the game, including on whether his quarterback, Will Grier, plays it.
I love the game.
It's awesome. Dude, it's so good.
It's so awesome.
Whoever
made that game.
I hadn't played, outside of here and there, I had, stopped. My Xbox was just, my Netflix. I stopped playing, basically, and then this game has just.
Yeah, no, it's an awesome game. It's, the strategy behind the game.
Oh,
it's so addicting. You just want to play.
Do you have a favorite loadout or weapon?
Obviously the Scar.
Yeah.
But
like the drum, new drum gun.
Yeah, I do actually like the blue drum's good. I like the purple light machine gun too.
Yeah.
That one's, I mean, it's,
did you see today the TAC sub got vaulted?
For real?
Yeah, they vaulted it. They have a new sub now. I haven't played with it yet.
Yeah, I haven't played since like y'all been Thursday.
Yeah. A little busier.
I need to get on that. Will won't get on it because he doesn't want to get addicted.
I was going
to
ask Will.
No, he wants to play so bad. Like, I know he does. He'll tell you he doesn't.
Should I ask him?
You need to ask him about it, but he literally won't play because if he plays, he knows he'll, like, want to play all the time. So, and, like, he...
Is he that type of personality? Once he just
I mean,
gets
that's
on
how,
something?
Like, everyone is.
Well, that's
like,
how the game... Yeah.
Yeah, like, everyone's like that.
Unfortunately, I did not have the chance to ask Will Greer about his thoughts on the game and whether he would be squatting up anytime soon as we ran out of time out there at Big 12 Media Days. But there are some thoughts from 8 Big 12 players on the game. They all played. Everyone I asked played. I asked a couple other guys, TC running back Shaywa Olanolua. He said he played some, but he sent me over to Sean Robinson. And then there were a couple others I talked to but didn't have the chance to fit them into this segment. Chris Nelson, defensive lineman for Texas. He said he's more of an observer, but it gets a little heated in the Texas locker room. As you know, everybody knows, they've got those TVs in every one of their lockers. So the way I envision it is that they just get in there and squat up and kind of fight about it all the time. But there it is. Some thoughts from these guys on the game Fortnite. After talking to these guys and when I was putting together this podcast, it really inspired me to put together my all Big 12 Fortnite squad. And if you don't know, on the game Fortnite, there's three game modes. There's solo, there's duo, then there's squad. Squad is teams up to four. And so here's my Fortnite squad, my all Big 12 Fortnite squad, my team of four. I'm going to start with Oklahoma State running back Justice Hill, who I spoke with earlier. You heard, doesn't lack confidence. Like he said, he likes to push people with the heavy shotgun. I think that's a big asset on this team. We already know he's not afraid to run downhill. Hill's ability to make people miss in the open field can translate to the Fortnite realm. I think it can be very valuable as he'll need to dodge shots in up-close battles with shotguns especially. His aggressive mindset should be very valuable to the team, especially in situations where we might even be down a man or two. So I'm starting with Oklahoma State running back Justice Hill. TCU do it everything, wide receiver return man, Kevontae Turpin. Turpin has done it all at TCU as he returns to Fort Worth for his senior season. Just last season, he was the only player in the country to throw for a touchdown, catch a touchdown, run for a touchdown, and have both a kickoff return and punt return for scores. His versatility is what I'm looking at here. It's exactly what you need on your Fortnite squad. He can build. His speed is important in situations where you need to outrun the storm or push another squad. The best part about Turp being on the squad is that due to his versatility, he's the ultimate team guy. Whether it comes to looting, whether it comes to, you know, sacrificing ammo, he's good with all the guns with his versatility. So he's a perfect asset on the team. You know, you can ask him to build, you can ask him to carry heals, you can ask him, you know, to snipe in situations. He can do it all. He's accurate with all the weapons. I think Turpin is going to have an invaluable you can't mark his value to the Fortnite, to the all Big 12 Fortnite squad. He's irreplaceable. Dakota Allen, Texas Tech linebacker. I spoke with him earlier about the game. As you heard, he's a big builder. He's also overcome a ton of adversity in his life, not only to still be playing college football, but to be back in Lubbock at Texas Tech and to be an all Big 12 conference player heading into his senior year. Allen will no doubt – he will. I have no – irks and no lack of confidence in saying this, he will no doubt be the best builder in any game. He's going to be the core, the glue guy on the squad. He's going to build. He's going to build up forts. He's going to be the steady guy. You just can't get past him. Just look at his 101 tackles last season. You're not penetrating his builds. You're just not. He's the man. He's going to be the builder on the team. You're just not going to get past him. He's going to have the ability to squad wipe when he gets in tough situations because he can build so quickly. He'll be able to get kills up close. You're not weaving him. I mean, the guy's a tackling machine, like I said. He's the ultimate glue guy. His resiliency and inner belief is just another thing as well. Like I said, he's overcome a lot, bounced around before he got back to Texas Tech. This guy has done it all, and that translates. That's crucial leadership for a Fortnite squad. What are we lacking here? What do we need for the fourth member on the team? I'll tell you what we need. We need a conductor. We need a decision maker, a guy who can make tough calls when you need him the most. That's West Virginia quarterback Will Greer. And I know I mentioned earlier, David Sills, his teammate, says that he does not play the game. I think he's the perfect guy for the All-Big 12 Fortnite squad, and here's why. He's the ultimate competitor and leader who can be in charge of this group. We've got some, you know, Terp is a guy who, like, he's kind of the flashy guy, Cavante. You know, he's going to try and, you know, do some flashy plays. Greer's going to reel it all in, and he's going to keep the guys focused and on the task at hand. It's all about winning. Terp may be trying to get highlight reel plays. Greer's going to conduct this thing, keep it all under control. Also, he completed just under 65% of his throws last season, which makes him the sniper that this group needs. What have I lacked so far? Guys who like to, you know, snipe. We need long distance. Distance isn't a problem with Greer. He throws the vertical ball really well. Just watch West Virginia's play. He's going deep all the time. Snipes from 200-plus meters out should not be an issue with Greer. He won't be the premier builder on the squad, but with Dakota's supreme building and Turpin's ability to do a little bit of everything, and with Hill wanting to push up close, Greer is the perfect backline guy. He can snipe from deep. He can kind of keep things under control. And don't forget, he's got the ultimate checkdown guy in Justice Hill. When things go awry, Hill is the guy he can look to. The Greer to Hill duo combo, if you will, within squad games, it's going to be critical. And you need that continuity. And I like having the best quarterback and the best running back kind of captaining the ship with the All-Big 12 Fortnite squad. And like I said, most importantly, his ability to lead and, dare I say, quarterback a group will be his biggest asset to the squad. So to recap, my All-Big 12 Fortnite squad is Oklahoma State running back Justice Hill, TCU do-it-all player Cavante Turpin, Texas Tech linebacker Dakota Allen, and they're all guided by West Virginia quarterback Will Greer. Expect Hill and Turton to be kind of the flashier guys. Expect them to have the heavier stat lines in terms of kills. You heard Justice. He really likes to push. You know, he's probably a double-digit kill guy. Turpin's going to be that guy toward the end of games trying to get highlight reel plays, you know, bouncers, all that kind of stuff. He's kind of going to do a little bit of everything. But Greer's leadership and decision-making, along with Dakota Allen's building abilities and resiliency, that's what's ultimately going to get my squad over the top and countless Fortnite dubs. I'm telling you right now, Will Greer, Justice Hill, Cavante Turpin, Dakota Allen, just the premier Fortnite team in all of college football. So that's going to be a wrap on the first episode of the Four Verticals podcast. I'm your host, Harrison Graham. Expect in the upcoming weeks, I'll start to dive into the Big 12 deeper as we get closer to the college football season. I'll give previews on all 10 teams, probably do two teams an episode. I'll also start doing my Power 5 on positions. Expect on episode 2, my Power 5 quarterbacks in the Big 12. Outside of Will Greer, who will be number one on that list, I can go ahead and tell you that now. It's a new group of quarterbacks, so we will see who makes my list. We'll do running backs, receivers, and some other position groups as well. Those are some things you can look forward to on the Four Verticals podcast. But for now, always remember, when in doubt, go deep.